like about you most is you'd run away with me. So pack your bags and your shotgun too. We might run into zombies. We're always down for that co-op multiplayer action. We're always down. I'd follow you into the jungle, and I know we'd survive. Endless waves of faceless soldiers, 'cause we've got 60 lives. We're always down for that co-op multiplayer action. We're always down, we're so down for co-op. We're so down for that co-op action. I'm tough like a ninja. When the pirates come in hordes, that's when I'll be calling to you. You better bring your swords. We're always down for that co-op multiplayer action. We're always down. We're so down. We're so down. We're so down for co-op. We're so down. We're so down. We're so down for co-op. We're so down, we're so down, we're so down for co-op. We're so down for that co-op action. Thanks.
All right, last night I finally finished my EXO episode about moving to Toronto, episode 14. And I've been holding off on that before I did a ham radio. It's like, I want to do that first, and then I'll get my random blabbing as I walk around the streets of Toronto. So right now, it's a little bit snowy out. Kind of weather where I really shouldn't have this recorder out. I had this old cheap recorder where basically I would just run a shitty mic through a DV cam type of deal. Didn't matter if that thing got snow on it. It was a piece of junk anyway. But it uses FireWire and my laptop that I just got. Got a new laptop. Very exciting. But, let me tell you about this fucking PC that I had. Okay, well, I was going to say as I'm using my fancy recorder that I shouldn't really have out in the snow, but fuck it. I'm not a responsible owner of this fancy device. So, when me and my friend Matt moved to Vancouver together, when was that, 2007, I believe? It was right after the second time I opened Keith Miley's show. And we split on a PC when we got there. We got the cheapest fucking PC that they had at Future Shop. The thing was only like $500 brand new. Walking past a construction site, so you get delightful noise. It's not usually this loud in Toronto, but I'm in kind of an industrial zone. So we split the cost on a $500 desktop. It was like the cheapest one that they had, I think. Or among the cheapest, because it really did everything I need to do. Basic video editing is not so intensive. It's getting tougher now that things have moved to HD a lot, but even then you can just render out your HD footage in some shitty format, use that as a preview, swap everything at the end before the render, you're all good. Audio, certainly no problem. People that really blow like a lot of money on a computer, like these $2,000 computers, you're a sucker. You don't need that shit. You really don't. If you want to play games, sure, but even then, that shit's only going to be good for a couple of years. Go buy a goddamn Xbox if you want to play games. So we had this computer, and I thought I was going to stay in Vancouver. But I only stayed for 6 months. Oh, and then I bought off Matt's half of it when he came home. So I moved from Vancouver back to New Brunswick, had to ship this computer. I didn't even bother bringing the monitor. I just had an old CRT monitor. You can get those for like 20 bucks anywhere. And then I was in New Brunswick for a month and went to New York. So I shipped my goddamn computer to New York. Then after New York, I shipped the motherfucking thing back to New Brunswick. Wow, it's really fucking getting snowy out here. So anyway, at that point, I was like, fuck this, man. I am not shipping this goddamn thing to Toronto now. Fuck this. If I had realized I was going to move so much, then I would have got a goddamn laptop in the first place. But that's the other nice thing about waiting, is that this thing, I still went on the sort of lower end, but I spent like $700 after tax. It was only really $600, just a lot of tax on that stuff. And the computer's totally sweet. I can actually play videos, well, speaking of video games, you know. I can play stuff, I can catch up on all these games, which I really don't do. I mean, it takes me a long time to play video games. I just don't have the patience anymore. It always seems like there's better things I should be doing. But I got this cool laptop, which just for the portability alone is totally sweet, totally awesome. Who knows, maybe now I won't move. Maybe I'll just stay here for fucking years and years, but whatever. Anyway, that laptop doesn't have a FireWire connection, and the real way to get one without a whole lot of trouble, that I don't even know if I can at all. So I can't use my old camera is the point. I'm just rambling. That's what I do. Yeah, so this XO that I did about Toronto, wasn't really sure about it, you know? I don't know. I was fighting a bit with this one. It didn't come easy. Wasn't sure if it was one of the better ones. But, Kyle, the new Keith and the Girl intern. I never actually met that guy. We didn't cross paths while I was in New York, but he seems like a pretty cool dude, and he gave me the thumbs up that he liked it. So that's cool. Eases my mind that it turned out well. So now we're going to listen to some music, because that's the thing that I do on this podcast, which in one day of the new XO being up, one day, it has the same number of downloads as the last ham radio got all week. Just saying. I don't know why I continually have to shit on ham radio. I love this show. It's fun to do. But I just want you guys to know you're fucking elite. You're part of the elite crew. Let me find a song.
So now this room
Ah, man, I love that song. That's Electric Bird by Sia, or Sia, perhaps. The next XO, if everything goes according to plan, is going to be about this girl I know who used to live in Atlanta, but I think she lives in Florida now, and about her relationship woes. It's going to be totally good. I think it's going to be an awesome episode. So I asked her to send me a bunch of songs that reminded her of this particular point in her life. And I've been sifting through them, and that song, man, that big musical swell at the end, holy shit. Like, that's my theoretical plan, is that for the big climax of that episode, that's the song that's gonna hit. Fuck, that's cool. Now let's shift gears to a Canadian band. This is Billy Talent. They're basically just a Canadian radio punk rock. Punk rock in the sense of, like, punk slash rock. More rock than punk, but punky rock band. Pretty mainstream as Canadian things go. But there were, I played them before on this show. Basically, the first two songs on their first album were both really, really good, and I dug up old versions and stuff. But I don't know if I played this one in particular. This is a song called How It Goes, but this is their old demo version from their, like, demo EP. And it's really different. All the verses are totally different. It just has the same chorus. It's not as good, but it's kind of interesting. Any Canadian music nerds out there? Boom, here you go. Eat this fucking maple syrup, maple leaf, drenched shit. Oh, because of course, as far as Canadian content goes, Billy Talent was the name of the guitarist in the fictional band Hardcore Logo. Good book, good comic book, really good movie, fucked up ending. Highly recommended. We'll be right back. I'm more or less gonna just play the songs that have piled up in my slush pile. Basically just in the order that they arrive. No real rhyme or reason beyond that. But first I'll just describe my setting. Right now I'm walking down by the water in downtown Toronto. I assume this is... what the fuck is this? Lake something? Lake Ontario? I don't know. The Great Lakes? That is part of this, right? I assume. I should look at a map sometime. I don't know. I'm just out on one of these. It's spelled Q-U-A-Y. Quay, you would assume. But I learned in Vancouver that Lonsdale is called Lonsdale Key. So I assume these are also keys. Key West, I am at now. Not to be confused with K-E-Y West in Florida. Unless that's spelled weird too and I just never realized, but I don't think so. Key lime pie, all that shit. Anyway, it's pretty cool because very similar to my hometown where I live on the St. John River. So I'm used to having a big body of water right there, right across the street. This is very similar, except, you know, functionally identical, except since it's a lake and not a river. Basically, my hometown is a wind tunnel. It's got, you know, just immediately, you don't even have to walk very far to get high enough up the hills on the banks. You know, you walk a mile away from the river and then you're suddenly way, way higher than you were before. You can see all kinds of stuff. So it just makes it into this wind tunnel, especially being on the water, just like windy all the time. It's just really wet, cold there, and the wind is just death. Like, it's the triumvirate of shit, where it's super cold anyway, because it's further north than here. It's got the wind, and it's got this wet cold coming in off the ocean. It hurts your bones, man. Like, this is like boutique winter, what's going on here. This is like kind of like the New York winters. Just no biggie, you know. You get some snow, you get to put on a scarf and go, ooh, it's winter time. Let's get a hot chocolate. You know, it's delightful winter. Where I come from, fucking New Brunswick, that's not delightful winter. That's nightmare, horrifying winter. It's very nice to learn that Canada's not all like that. There's apparently a reason why 25% of the population lives in this golden horseshoe zone near Toronto. So yeah, it's nice. I got the... I'm looking at the fucking lake. If anything, it's bigger than the river. Bigger across, but it's not all horrifying and windy. I like it. I like it a lot. This is the kind of winter I can sink my teeth into. It's actually kind of pleasant and enjoyable. And with my newfound love and respect for Canada after living in the States for a while, it's all just good. I thought like, oh man, you know, like, I don't know. I just thought Canada seemed like I was putting up with a lot of bullshit with all this winter, but... it really is worth it. I think it helps keep our population down for one thing, which is important. One of the reasons it's so nice here is because the population is not huge. And I think it keeps it cleaner also. I think it kind of puts people on lockdown for half of the year. Keeps activity to a minimum. And it's just kind of nice. I really don't mind this kind of cold. It can be a little chilly when you first step outside, but after you walk around for 10 minutes, you don't really notice it anymore. Because there's no wind. Like, the wind in New Brunswick and Fredericton, it would just, like, just sting my face. There was a point before I moved out here, just when I was home. It was a great big crazy storm day, but I couldn't keep my glasses on because they just instantly got just coated in snow as I was walking across the train bridge, the walking bridge home. And I had to just like shield my face with my hands and have my eyes just squinted because these little ice particles that were just flying at me, this snow, it was like stinging my eyeballs. Like, that's unusual. That doesn't usually happen, but it fucking happened and it sucked. All right, here's kind of a bit of a dark tune. I actually tried to work this into the last XO. It didn't work out. I believe this was going to be probably the part after the flashback where I was talking about my nostalgic nice feelings in Montreal ebbing away because I had to wait so long for the next bus and I was hungry and tired, and instead I replaced it with a Nouvelle Vague song. Worked out way better. But this is a pretty neat tune. This was dude Gabe that I know from Newfoundland sent me a DVD that he got at his job of just random music videos if I wanted to use them on my music video show, which is also on hiatus because my camera doesn't work anymore. I can't film stuff until I get a new setup figured out. This is a band called Eskimo Joe. Australian, perhaps? Maybe English, but I think Australian. And this is a song called Black Fingernails, Red Wine. I played the video in one of my Here's Some Fucking Videos. Go to KeithCourage.com. Here's Some Fucking Videos. Go back an episode or two. I played this video. It's a really good video. And it's also a really good song, so let's listen to that. Coffee time. Never heard of these before. It's clearly an Ontario thing, but they're all over the place. It's this like sucky looking coffee donut place.
like Tim Hortons, but shitty. Just looking at the place, I don't know, it just seems so low quality and awful. But they're everywhere, so I gotta try one. But I suspect that it's like the Dunkin' Donuts of Ontario, where Dunkin' Donuts, in case you're not familiar with New York City, is fucking shit. It's so shitty. Oh god, it's shitty. There's one similarity already. I got a double double, two cream, two sugar. There is so much sugar in this thing, you get instant diabetes. That's very, very Dunkin' Donuts. Yeah, no, I just had to try it once just to know that it's awful, but yeah, it seems pretty bad. I also got a Boston cream. But same thing with Tim Hortons. Not great donuts. I'm not going to defend them, but way better than Dunkin' Donuts. Dunkin' Donuts, oh, so bad. Although a lot of it is contextual. That second year that I opened for Keith, I remember I stayed at Spooky's place, and he had a 24-hour Dunkin' Donuts by his house. And when you go get a bunch of Dunkin' Donuts shit at 3 or 4 in the morning, it's pretty fucking great. I'm curious about, apparently a bunch of Tim Hortons opened in Manhattan this past year. I gotta go track some of those down. I'm gonna go to New York end of the month, because Keith and Hemda, their book is coming out. They're having a big marathon podcast. So I'm gonna swing down, because it's a pretty easy bus ride from here. While I'm there, I should try to find one of these Tim Hortons, see if it actually is any good, or if the no good surly teens that work there fuck it all up. One of these coffee times up on Englington or something, I saw I had heat lamp chicken. Man, that brought back some memories. That's the worst stuff. Like, it's just awful. But there was a 7-Eleven by where one of the places I lived in Vancouver that had heat lamp chicken. It's the only 7-Eleven I've ever seen that had that set up. But it was 24-hour, and it was right by my house. And man, more than a few times, I went down there and got myself some of that disgusting shit. It's just something about, like, that deep-fried stuff. It's so irresistible, even though it's really not good. But it just short-circuits your brain and seems delicious. Alright, here's a song. Somehow this one slipped by me. It's from the second Metric album, which I never actually bought. I just downloaded it. So, this was at the point in Vancouver when I didn't even have a computer. I would just go to internet kiosks and download shit. It would usually be through LimeWire or something, so I would get kind of a random mess. So I totally missed this song. I didn't have it. I just heard it a little while ago when I was digging through old Metric stuff. And at some point, this is going to be in an XO also, I'm sure. So will that Eskimo Joe song. I'm sure I'll find a place to use it because it's got such a cool vibe. But this song, it's got this nice, buy this car to go to work to pay for this car thing going on. So when I do a show about working, I'm sure I'll throw it in. Speaking of that, I don't have a job yet. I did get an apartment. That's cool. But, whew, gotta find a job. It's also tough to get a job when you're gonna fuck off on purpose to go to New York, because I'm gonna go again in April. I don't want to necessarily, you know, if I get a bad job, that's fine, but then that's a bad job. But if I get a halfway good job, then I don't want to just be like, hey, by the way, fuck you guys, I'm going away for a few days. Eat my balls. Anyway, I'll figure something out. Here's Symmetric. Say you want to get in, and then you want to get out. When you get the money to buy yourself a car, so how will you wear your lingerie? You zip it back and front on the fence together. Weekends and weather.
Me. I miss you.
That breakfast sandwich is pretty tasty here at coffee time. So that's good. But I mean, who can fuck up breakfast? Everyone makes good breakfasts. Even McDonald's has a pretty good breakfast. And they're the worst. Me and Chris were talking about that yesterday. Like, is there a fast food place worse than McDonald's? Is that even possible? I can't think of one. Although I did have a McDonald's fucking Egg McMuffin thing a couple of weeks ago that was like super stale. I ended up just eating the egg and the cheese out of the middle and tossing the buns because it was just disgusting. But like we're coming back from a movie. We were going to stop in a pub, get a hamburger, but the kitchen had just closed. And we were like, oh man, it's too bad. Could have gone for a burger. And then we walked right past a McDonald's and we're like two more blocks before it occurred to either one of us that they technically have burgers at McDonald's, but it's not even like when you think of a burger and then you think McDonald's, it's different. It's a whole different thing. It's fucking gross. Here's a song by a guy named Spooky Rubin, who I got to see live right before I left my hometown and who was awesome. This is the first song that he played, and he's from Toronto, so I'll have to keep my ear to the ground. I'm sure I can see him here as well. But yeah, this is the first song that he played when I saw him live, and I actually put it in an XO in the grab bag too. Really fucking awesome tune. Let's listen to that. It's called Just Another Way by Spooky Rubin. So, coffee time donut, sadly gross. Extremely large. I noticed as I was leaving, there's a little sign that says, a large sign. Bragging about their muffins. Saying, bigger is better.
And I guess they take that with the donuts too. Fucking gross though. Stop me if you heard this one already, because I feel like I repeat my same stories over and over again on this show. And by stop me, I just mean turn it off. I don't know how you can stop me. But there was this really awesome Belgian donut place, not Belgian, Polish donut place in Brooklyn that Ian and a roommate took me to. It was super awesome. Homemade, handmade, awesome, cool donuts. And it's kind of sad that we as a people, we've consigned ourselves to shitty, mass-produced, terrible donuts just because we put up with them. We accept them, and now that's all we can have. That's all we got. I don't really give a shit about activism. Saw a thing in the bathroom, like, climate justice now. I could give a fuck, but I'm very sad that we have let the power of the people bend in the case of donut quality. Very unfortunate. I should get off this street. This is Spadina, which I thought was Spadina. My buddy Preston Buttons told me I was saying it wrong. It's like Houston and Houston Street in New York. It's like how you can tell if someone's not from around here, they say names wrong. So, before I left coffee time, I was like, all right, let me go take a leak. And awful, awful bathroom. Just terrible. Because, I mean, it's one of these places, it's like 24 hour, or at least very late hours. Very low quality, shitty, sweet food. Way too much sugar in the coffee. Just white trash fucking store. So, of course, it attracts all of the homeless and semi-homeless that you would expect. All the big fat guys in like dirty sweatpants that just kind of hang out all day for hours and hours. And as such, has a horrifying bathroom. Just terrible. So I was in there like, alright, gonna take a piss. Like, it smelled just bad. Like, I still had a bit of coffee left. And even just like walking in there holding a coffee, it's like, has this been contaminated now? Do I want to put this anywhere near my mouth anymore? But unfortunately, coffee being a diuretic as it is, and all this walking, and the fact that I just ate my first meal of the day, all of this built up, so it's like I'm standing at the urinal, and my body was like, sorry pal, either you're gonna go take a shit, or we're not doing this at all. And I was like, goddamn. So, went in the awful, horrifying stall, and sat down. And I'm not saying this to brag or anything, but we're all adults here. Let's talk frankly, shall we? When one has a long dick, that's a problem. Because it can, if you're not careful, touch the water in the toilet bowl. And there are times when you cannot allow that to happen. This being one of those times. I hate to think what kind of horrifying things would crawl up into my dick from that awful place. Blah, blah. Gah. Anyway, feel much better now. Though I'm thinking I should probably still start making my way back home, but right now I'm walking over to the CN Tower. Maybe I'll do a little spin around that. It's pretty neat to walk around the base of it and look up. Oh, there it is. Just popped out from between some buildings. Pretty motherfucking tall. Seems like a bit of a jip, though, and, you know, it used to be the tallest freestanding structure in the world until that crazy-ass building in Abu Dhabi or wherever. But the main observation deck, it's high, but it's not that high. Like, then it goes up further and further. This, like, pole up at the top, and it keeps getting thinner. I mean, should a pole extending from the top of a building really count toward its height? Seems weird. Anyway, it's a pretty neat thing, pretty cool. At nighttime, it looks awesome. Tons of crazy lights and stuff. Although it's a really bad indicator of if you're close to home or not, because you can see that thing in the distance and be like, oh, hey, I'm almost home. But you're actually only at like Dufferin Street or something. Because it always looks like it's kind of close. Listen to me name dropping names, huh? street names. I know where things are. I'm totally finding my way around here. I never could get a grasp on where the fuck I was in New York. The place is just too fucking big for me. But here, it's just a nice grid, and everything that's, like, really cool in this town is all basically centered around downtown. That's one thing that's cool, is it's a big city, but the part that's really worth a damn, it's only as big as my hometown, probably. So all of the parts that I will be using as my stomping grounds, it's just kind of like transplanting from my hometown to here. Except everything's super cool. And the sort of sprawl totally doesn't seem worth it. Like, Vancouver, it was nice. It was nice to walk around the outlying areas, and this is a really beautiful place. Around here, it doesn't seem like anything special once you get out of the core. So the core is where I will stay. Whew, man, look at that sand tower. I'm definitely not going up in that thing. It's got, like, a glass floor. I would fucking pass out and shit myself. I'd be so terrified. I get more scared of heights with every passing year for some reason. I think it's like all my other weird phobias are just reconstituting themselves into fear of heights for some strange reason. Alright, let's play a song. This is Busta Rhymes' first single, Woo-ha, Got You All in Check. Woo-ha, Got You All in Check. I loved this song right from the very first time that I heard it. And since then, I've heard it, I don't know, hundreds of times. It's just fucking crazy catchy. One of these little hip-hop loops that if you didn't like it, it would make you nuts because it just repeats over and over. But if you do like it, holy balls. I really think on the escalator to heaven, this is the song they're going to play.
Enjoy my boat cruise. I know you really want. wanna know who's coming through, leaving bloodstains and residues. Sorry, homeboy, but your flow sound used. Got to pay your dues, baby, you know the rules. Whenever I travel the world, I land cruise. If you choose to fuck around, you get bruised. Now I got you gas on super unleaded fuels. Give me room, give me some space, yo, excuse. When I step up in the place, then yo, I step correct. Cause I got you all in check. I got that head nod shit that make you break your neck. Cause I got you all in check. And you know we come through to wreck the discotheque. Cause I got you all in check. Throw your hands up in the air and never disrespect. Cause I got you all in check.
You now rocking with the best. Busta Rhymes coming through from the Flipmode squad. Boy Scouts who I be. Straight to your dome. We coming straight to your dome. Bringing all you ruckus to all you rap motherfuckers. Boy Scouts who I be. Flipmode is the squid dog. Busta Rhymes break it down like this.
Yo, which motherfucker stole my flow? Throw them type of niggas right out my window. Blast your ass, hit you with a direct blow. Blow, coming through like G.I. Joe. Star Wars moving ill like Han Solo. Make you bounce around like this was Calypso. Always shine cause I got the high pro glow. You think that you can hide, you think you can lay low. Roll up on your ass like Hawaii 5-0. Mac out with my dreads in my Kango. Forget the moment nigga just passed the Cisco. Yo, take a trip down to Mexico. Come back with that shit that might make you psycho. Maximum frequencies through your stereo. Sorry this is it, but homeboy, I got to go.
I got step up in the place and yo, I step correct.
Got you all in check. I got that head nod shit that make you break your neck. I got you all in check. And you know we come through to like the discotheque. I got you all in check. Throw your hands up in the air and never disrespect.
Now I'm going to play some songs by a band called Early Mart. I found them because their first single was Heaven Adores You. I played it on my little Elliot Smith tribute D show. A song that's theoretically about Elliot Smith. So I got their first, not their first album, but their first kind of major-ish album from 2004. And I really like it a lot. It's really good. I've listened, it's the first like full album in some time that I've really just like listened to top to bottom. I really liked the whole thing. And I used some of their songs in the Photopia episode of EXO, which turned out really well. That was a weird one where I, not only was I reading a story, but it was a story adapted from a text adventure. Definitely a bit different than the other shows. I'm not sure how much people dug it in general, but those who liked it a lot. And besides a few little technical problems with some audio quality issues that I've since sorted out, but overall, I was pretty happy with how it turned out. Adding the music in really worked out kind of neat. If I could make a movie, man, I would make a Photopia movie. If someone just was like, here's $5 million, make a movie. I got all these ideas for how you could kind of extend it a bit, stylistically, how you could handle it. Get more into the Purple Queen segments, the alternate future that never happens. It'd be fucking so cool. So yeah, Early Mart is kind of the kind of kicked off the whole thing. There's a song called A Bell and a Whistle that just really reminded me strongly of this scene from Photopia where the dad is talking to the main character, Allie, when she's fairly young, early teens, I guess. 10 or 11, just talking about space, outer space and the stars. I actually use both these songs in that section. The first one is called Sounds, and it starts out as kind of a fuzzy shoegazer song, and then it transitions into this really awesome instrumental. And then I'm going to play A Bell and a Whistle. That's just a super, super great song. Super great. Let's listen to that Early Mart stuff.
hospitals and homes, answering the phone. And what if I could take us both away from here, far away, my dear?
All right, let's nerd out for a minute. Let's listen to some songs from Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog that was the one-off that Joss Whedon did when there was all the TV strike shit going on a couple of years ago. He got a bunch of his own money and made a little musical about an evil supervillain. And I remember I watched it when it first came out, and I was like, yeah, that was okay. Didn't really affect me too much. But Joss Whedon, he's my favorite. I love that guy. Like, there's a lot of ups and downs in his shows, but Firefly was just the best goddamn thing ever. I loved that show. And I was a really big fan of Buffy and Angel. Though that being said, I have, like, seasons that I really like, and then seasons of each show where I was like, eh. But overall, like, that guy's just got this unique stamp, this footprint that he leaves that nobody else has got. Which was weird about that new show, Dollhouse, that he has. I haven't quite finished it up yet. There's like half a season I haven't seen. It only ran for a couple of years and got canceled. That one just didn't work for me. Or anyone else on the earth, it seems. Like, and I can't remember who pointed this out. But it seemed to ring true. Is that, if anything, Joss's shows, I always thought they kind of leaned too much toward humor, if anything. But he has this awesome balance of jokes and seriousness, and the jokes somehow make the seriousness better. You can laugh at the funny parts and still just be totally into the really dramatic parts. And as much as I don't give a shit about Shakespeare, Joss Whedon is a huge Shakespeare fan, and maybe he gets some of that from him. From what I understand, Shakespeare did that. I wouldn't know because I can't fucking understand what anyone is saying in that horse shit. But from what I understand, from what I've been told, he cracks quite a few jokes, that Shakespeare. But yeah, Dollhouse, man. Fuck, I don't know what happened. It was like a ceasefire on humor. There's one character who was funny, who incidentally was the best character, and who had the best dramatic moments also. They were few and far between, but Topher, man. Topher's birthday? That's a nice bit. Anyway, Dollhouse, bah, I don't know, didn't work out. But for Christmas, my friend Stefan grabbed me a copy of Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog on DVD. And I was like, hey man, that's cool, you know, but you know, I saw it the one time and I was like, alright, well that's neat, I'll watch it again. But I didn't really expect it to grab me that much again. But man, I'm glad he got it for me, because watching it a second time, maybe it's the nature of musicals. They're better when you know the songs. And part of it was slogging through Dollhouse, like, Really, some of those early episodes of Dollhouse from the first season, they were some of the worst TV I've ever seen. Sorry, Joss, but they were awful. Like, if it wasn't you, I wouldn't have watched them. Like, painful to me, they were so bad. So this, not only was I surprised how much more I liked Dr. Horrible after seeing it a second time, third time, fourth time, but it also just really rejuvenated, made me remember my love of Joss and why he's my favorite. Because there's so much good shit in that. Just fantastic. It's, you know, mostly funny, mostly silly, but then it's got those moments that are really like, whoa, you know, like, it's fucking excellent. It almost made me think maybe I should try to make a musical. Like, maybe I like musicals. I don't know, because I also really like the Buffy musical. But I think it's just that I like Joss Whedon musicals. I don't think I do like musicals. Anyway, this song, after much deliberation, it might be like with the Buffy musical. It would change. My favorite song would change until eventually I settled on the duet between Tara and Giles. Same thing happened here. I wasn't sure what my favorite song is, but in the end, I'm leaning toward the duet between Doogie Howser and Felicia Day. Neil Patrick Harris, I'm sorry. Just a really, I don't know, there's even like, I don't know if it is the strongest song all around, but there's some really great parts, especially the part where Felicia Day sings about how there's good in everybody's heart. Ah, it just gets me. Just something about the tone, it's such a good little, brings a tear to my nerdy eye. So I'm going to play that song. It's called In My Eyes. And I'm also going to play, in my grand tradition of using people doing acoustic covers of songs on YouTube in their bedrooms, this is a guy doing an acoustic cover of Freeze Ray, the very first song. Very nice little rendition of Freeze Ray. So if you haven't seen Dr. Horrible sing-along blog, I give it the thumbs up, particularly if you're willing to give it two or three watches. I really think it'll grow on you more and more. Songs you didn't think you liked the first time, you'll realize you do like, and so many little details in that show, just tons of little things. Nathan Fillion's character has some just excellent little moments, weird little, he's like this braggadocious kind of superhero jerk-off, but man, it doesn't seem subtle. His name's Captain Hammer, but the more you see it, the more I notice anyway, little things he was doing that really cracked me up. So here's some Dr. Horrible songs.
Any dolt with half a brain can see that humankind has gone insane, to the point where I don't know if I'll upset the status quo if I throw poison in the water main. Listen close to everybody's heart and hear that breaking sound. Hopes and dreams are shattering apart and crashing to the ground. I cannot believe my eyes, how the world's filled with filth and lies. But it's plain to see evil inside of me is on the rise. Look around, we're living with the lost and found. Just when you feel you've almost drowned, you find yourself on solid ground and you believe there's good in everybody's heart. Keep it safe and sound. With hope you can do your part to turn a life around. I cannot believe my eyes. Is the world finally growing wise? 'Cause it seems to me some kind of harmony is on the rise.
A brain he looks could spend their whole life howling in pain.
The things that I'm
the dark is everywhere and he doesn't seem to care that seeing the dark in me is all that will remain.
And I believe listen close close to everybody's heart and hear that breaking sound. Hopes and dreams are shattering apart and crashing to the ground. I cannot believe my eyes, how the world's finally growing wise.
But it's plain to see,
and it's plain to see,
evil inside,
inside of me
is on the rise.
Laundry day, see you there, under things tumbled in. I wanna say love your hair, here I go, mumbled in with my freeze ray. Stop the world with my freeze ray. Find the time to find the words to tell you how you make me feel. What's a phrase? Like a fool, kinda sick, special needs. Anyways, with my freeze ray, I will stop the pain. It's not a death ray or an ice cream, that's all Johnny Snow. I just think you need time to know that I'm the guy to make it real. Feelings you don't dare to feel. Bend the world to our will. That's a plan, rule the world, you and me, any day. I love your hair, wait, what, you say something? No, I said, love the air, anyways, with my freeze ray, stop.
I really like this city, by the way. I don't know if I actually said that, but yeah, right away. I mean, I guess I made it clear in that XO, but I liked the feeling of this place right away. Walking around, I like it, just such a different vibe. I distinctly remember this early on this day in New York. I mean, it didn't help that, like, it could be argued that I didn't even really live in New York. I lived way out in Queens. It was a pretty long train ride to get into New York proper, which really hurts the experience. I still think I got more than enough of a taste, not to mention, I don't know, this idea that you should, like, stay in a city long enough for it to sink in. I've lived in enough cities now that I think that's a pile of fucking horseshit. If you don't like it in the first month, you're not gonna like it in the first year. I don't think you're gonna turn the corner all of a sudden, 2 years in, and just be like, oh, wait a second. Now I get it. Oh, it's not a shithole. It's actually very, very exciting. Nah. Right away I like Toronto. Right away I like Montreal. Right away I like Vancouver. I wouldn't say right away I dislike New York. I certainly realized something was fucked up right away. But man, my opinion was not gonna change. If you're not enjoying where you live, get the fuck out. If anything, I stayed too long. What was the point I was trying to get to? I don't know. Anyway, I like Toronto. This place is really cool. Let's listen to an outtake from my Red Hot Chili Peppers show that I did, the last show that I did. I decided not to play this version of Breaking the Girl. Instead, I play the instrumental. But I also like this. This is some chick whose name I don't remember off the top of my head, doing a cover of Breaking the Girl, which is probably my favorite Chili Pepper song. It was always kind of a toss-up between this and Taste the Pain. But really, Breaking the Girl. Push comes to shove, I think it's the best. So here she is, doing a cover of this cool-ass song. Thank you.
You think you're so clever, but now you must sever your break in the girl. He loves no one else. Raised by my dad, girl of the day, he was my man, that was the way. She was a girl left alone, feeling the need to make me her own. I don't know what way. I don't know what went or why. The twilight of love had arrived. Twisting and turning your feelings are burning, you're breaking the girl. She meant you.
Alright, here's a song by Bomb the Music Industry that I used to start The Last XO. It's a song called Sadder Weirder. A very nice little song. It's from their last album, I believe it's still their newest album, called Scrambles. You can get all their shit for free. I think it's called Quote Unquote Records, but they're called Bomb the Music Industry. They're totally good. And this is a nice little acoustic version of that song. Nice song about moving. I put all my books in a box. I put them in a concrete cube, and underneath more boxes, buried behind boxes, I'll get in one too.
Put all my books. Put all my books in a box. Now,
time for one more song. This is just a random tune I happen to have in my slush pile that I haven't heard in forever. It's, the fuck is that band called? Seattle Was a Riot is what this song's called. New Kind of Army. Shit, what are they called? Anyway, it's about the WTO riots in Seattle years ago, which was a good example of how I just don't understand activism. I had no idea what that was all about when it happened. Anti-Flag, this band's called. I saw them at the Warped Tour once. I remember asking people, like, I don't get these Seattle riots. What's going on? What is the problem? And people could kind of explain here and again some stuff, but it all seemed very vague and not very important. Hardly worth rioting and getting pepper sprayed in the face for, I would say.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Come on,
great, thanks very much.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. See, the place we're staying at, it's kind of a hotel-y type deal, so usually we just tell the lady, yeah, no, we're good. But me and Chris both happen to not be in the house, so she makes our beds and cleans our bathroom and all this shit. It's kind of nice. Anyway, before I play that Anti-Flag song, I was going to say I'm going to reappropriate that Anti-Flag song instead of it being about legitimate, quote-unquote, world issues that are apparently important that I could give a fuck about. Let's pretend it's about donuts. About how outraged we should feel at how shitty our donuts are. How we demand better! We deserve better! But first, let me just play a quick little clip from Conan O'Brien's last show. Haven't really kept up on Conan lately. I mean, he's been on TV for a long time, but I remember there was a point when I just got out of high school. I never really watched Conan much. It's on really late in Eastern Canada. Like, it doesn't start till like 1:35 in the morning. But my friend Matt was like, dude, you should watch Conan O'Brien. That shit's fucking hilarious. Like, we could give a fuck about the celebrity interviews and shit. It's just their little skits and stuff really are fucking good sometimes. So for like probably almost a year, I watched Conan a lot. And then he got fucked around by his network, and long story short, he got booted off. Although he got quite a severance package, so in a sense, it didn't turn out too bad. But this is a nice little speech he had before he left. And then some Anti-Flag with Seattle Was a Riot, a.k.a. Donuts Should Be Better.
Finally, I have something to say to our fans. This massive outpouring of support and passion from so many people has been overwhelming for me. The rallies, the signs, all this goofy, outrageous creativity on the internet, the fact that people have traveled long distances and camped out all night in the pouring rain. It's pouring. It's been pouring for days. And they're camping out to be in our audience. Really, here's what all of you have done. You made a sad situation joyous and inspirational. So to all the people watching, I can never, ever thank you enough for the kindness to me. I'll think about it for the rest of my life. And all I ask is one thing, and I'm asking this particularly of young people that watch. Please do not be cynical. I hate cynicism. For the record, it's my least favorite quality. It doesn't lead anywhere. Nobody in life gets exactly what they thought they were going to get. But if you work really hard and you're kind, amazing things will happen. I'm telling you, amazing things will happen. I'm telling you, it's just true.
emotions all by